You're listening to the Fact Hunter Radio Network.
Hello?
And the truth shall set you free.
Welcome to the Fact Hunter's special weekend edition call-in show. Call the Fact Hunter now at 302-526-4761. Again, that's 302-526-4761. Give us your first name and where you're calling from. And try to keep the call short so everyone can have their voice heard. Without any further ado, here's the Fact Hunter himself, George Hobbs.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a special weekend edition of the Call-In Show, another Saturday. It was exactly, 4 weeks ago today, we had our last Call-In Show, February the 4th, 2023. Went really well. We had six calls. Already see a few people in the chat room. It's good to see Roger Urax and the Mormon Rabbi, who will be joining us on another podcast in the near future. I hope everybody's doing well. We've had some really unusual weather here for the last 18 hours or so. Lots of rain, an awful lot of wind. Been having to do some repairs around here with some fencing and whatnot. And I came in today. There's all kinds of software updates. So I'll be spending the rest of the evening updating the software programs and replacing a hard drive on one of the computers. So that's been my weekend, but that's small potatoes. I hope everybody is doing well and navigating during these really unusual times. You know, I went to the grocery store the other day, and these prices don't cease to amaze me. $5 for a head of lettuce. I can't wait for the rest of our stuff to start growing again, because it's really absurd what you have to pay for things. And I don't know about y'all, but the lifespan on things in the refrigerator these days, whether it be fresh fruit or vegetables, they sure don't seem to last nearly as long as they used to. But That's enough of my first world problems. Let's go ahead and kick off today's show. The phone lines are open.
The Fact Hunter is ready to take your call. Join the program by calling 302-526-4761. That's 302-526-4761. Let the world know what's on your mind. Now let's get back to your host, the Fact Hunter himself, George Hobbs.
And there we go. The phone lines are open. Let's bring it, 302-526-4761. Whatever's on your mind, we always have quite an array of subjects. I thought it was very funny. If you guys didn't catch, I guess a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we had William Boot on, and he had mentioned that revival in Kentucky. I saw a headline on CNN yesterday that the CDC, you know, got involved, I guess, at the end of February. There was measles involved, and they're telling everybody to quarantine for 21 days. And of course, the school went right along with the CDC and everything else. I thought that was quite interesting. Good to see everyone in the chat room. I hope everyone had a nice week. I hope your weather is a little better than what we're getting here. But it is what it is. It's springtime, and we always get this fluctuation of cold, warm, rain, wind. It's just the usual cycle. Again, phone lines are open, 302-526-4761. Let's go ahead and get those fingers moving. Let's get our first caller on the air. Maybe Wes will call in. But I don't know what his schedule. He's on the West Coast. It's about 11 a.m. there. But let's go ahead and get our first caller in. I was pretty busy up until about 30 minutes ago, so I don't have a whole lot prepped. So hopefully we'll get some callers in. What's going on in your neck of the woods? What's the what are you looking at in the grocery store? Are you seeing any relief? Here at the gas station, it's like Powerball with the numbers all over the place. One day it's $2.95, the next day it's $3.39. The prices are indeed all over the place. Not sure what else is really going on in the news. You know, we can talk about East Palestine. If you didn't hear, the rationing has already begun in the United Kingdom. Again, you see these stories. You don't know if it's just a certain area and they run with these stories or if it is certainly widespread, but there are a lot of stories out there talking about that the United Kingdom has already to begin rationing as a means of normalizing the obvious coming shortages that are ahead of our collapse, and whether that collapse is intentional or due to hiring diversity over someone who is actually fit for the job, it is more than likely a combination of the both of them. Excuse me. 302-526-4761 is the phone number. Who wrote this story? This is J.D. Hayes. Says that the demise of the West planned by our globalist leaders as a means of further empowering themselves as kings and queens is continuing apace amid a new war in Europe now, rationing of vegetables in the United Kingdom. And again, everybody can grow their own vegetables. We already have our racks up, our lights, our heating pads, and we have lettuce, tomatoes. We have all kinds of vegetables sprouting. They'll be in the ground within the next week or so in the greenhouse. Goes on to say that the past few days have seen certain fruits and vegetables rationed by major UK supermarkets. Was written by Kit Knightley of Off Guardian this week. Going on to list several grocery store chains where the rationing was occurring. Many, including Justin King, who was the former Sainsbury CEO. I'm not really familiar with a lot of the retail stores out in Europe, minus the Tesco. When I was in Hungary, Tesco was kind of the Walmart of Europe. I think Walmart is actually in Europe now. I could be wrong. Goes on to say that many, including Justin King, the former Sainsbury CEO, have jumped at the chance to lay the blame at Brexit's feet. They blame everyone but themselves, don't they? It's always everyone else's fault. But that doesn't make much sense, since Morocco, when the UK imports a lot of salad vegetables, obviously isn't in the EU. Further, Ireland has been affected too. Plus, we're only 5 months removed from France and other EU nations facing their own catastrophic food shortages. And again, is this a food shortage, or is this everyone relies on the grocery store? So the way the grocery store goes is the way the people go. You can grow your own fruits and vegetables in an apartment, in a townhouse. They can be grown anywhere, and you can simply go to YouTube and find these little hacks. So again, and you know, I've spoken to friends and family that if you 100% rely on the grocery stores, well, then you are going to be looking at some shortages in the very near future. The author suggests that while on one side the Brexit divide blames the shortages on the weather, the real reason for the shortages is they have been engineered. And we know everything is engineered, and they're scheduled years in advance. There's a playbook with these people. You know, they knew March 2020 was going to happen well in advance. And Tony the Tiger told you, Tony the Rat, I should say, not Tony the Tiger, but Tony Fauci, he told you straight up. He said, in the next administration, there's going to be a pandemic. And sure enough, just so happened, right before the election, we had a scamdemic. Knightley then implies that the establishment narrative about climate change is being used to distract from the true cause of the shortages. Knightley also mentions the toilet paper fiasco. As we all remember, the great toilet paper shortage of 2020 at the beginning of the scamdemic as an example of a possible psyop, also known as a psychological operation that creates the appearance of a shortage. And now, people where I live here, even if, you know, the weatherman says, hey, tomorrow there's a chance of 2 to 4 inches of snow, everybody rushes to the grocery store, the Wawa, and they buy up all the bread. Bread, toilet paper, and milk are the three big things people buy. So if you show up late the day before a snowstorm, you're not going to find any of those three things. And that's why I continue to harp on the fact I sure hope that people, every time you go to the grocery store, if you got a couple extra cents in your pocket, even if you stock up a little bit, get a few extra things, it'll certainly help you out in the long run. because if you wait for an emergency to happen and then try to stock up, by the time you get there, it'll either be empty or they'll have limits on what you can purchase. We still, at our local Sam's Club, you can only buy so many of the toilet paper, so many of the paper towels, and there's a few other items that are, you know, rationed out. You can only buy so many. Now, obviously, they don't really care if you have another person there with a cart. Like my wife, she'll be behind me with her stuff and use her card. So we can get more if we need to. It's still shocking to see the prices of eggs. And we're actually today, this evening, we picked up an incubator this week. So we're looking to raise our own chicks. We're going to try to cut out the middleman, which is normally McMurray's. If you go and look at the wait list for some of their meat chickens, you're looking up to 6 months. So there's a lot of people out there who do understand that there is a supply and demand with these type of things, and we're selling a lot of eggs from our home to our friends and family. So whatever you can do to take care of yourself and cut out the middleman, that's one way we can turn this thing around. Again, this is the call-in show. Let's get the phone calls going. It's 302-526-4761. I'd love to hear from you. Goes on to say that the deliberate inflation of oil and gas prices has caused a surge in the cost of producing, harvesting, and transporting crops. Additionally, the price of fertilizer has also increased due to a manufactured shortage. So although these issues are being attributed to the war in Ukraine, right, that is the reason for all of the failures in the Western Hemisphere, the war in Ukraine. And isn't it funny that Merrick Garland, what is the DOJ doing in Ukraine? These people have no business in Ukraine. We know why. Everybody knows why. But we can't say that word because we'll get booted. But goes on to say, additionally, the price of fertilizer has increased. Remember, Ukraine, big fertilizer, really, really big into wheat. The price has increased. The guy who runs the farm at the end of our street, he just had tons and tons and tons of his fertilizer. He grows corn. And I was talking to him. He said he's paid double from what he paid last year. And you don't exactly get rich in the farming, in agriculture. And you can see he was a little stressed out about it. But, I mean, you need it to grow your crops. Although these issues are being attributed to the war in Ukraine, they did, of course, exist before the conflict. And this was extensively discussed when the reports of food shortages first emerged in the spring. Goes on to say that speaking of Ukraine, it's currently easier to get tomatoes and war-torn kerosene than it is in London. And we do have we did have a call, and then it went off. Here we go. Let's see here. And our first caller is in the queue, area code 360. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yo, George, this is Drew from New Jersey.
Drew, long time no speak, brother. How are you?
Good, man. Yeah, I'm actually out in the Northwest at the moment, just south of Seattle. But yeah.
Oh wow, you're on the other side of the country.
Yeah, I'm in the heart of liberal land. Been here about 4 months, helping my mother out. And,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Is she doing okay?
Pretty interesting out here. Yeah, she's okay. She's having cognitive issues, as so many people, but especially elderly people are, you know.
Sure.
But yeah, it's, you know, I know we're diverging off topic already, but you know, she's on some of these pharmaceutical products, and it's just really hard to see, you know, once you realize that this whole industry is just corrupt, and you know, Rockefeller medicine and all that, and it's tough to see the actual results in your own mother, you know.
Yeah, and that is frustrating. And of course, once they get to that point, you really can't have the conversation to try to explain to them. And I guess by that time, a lot of the damage has already been done, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, yeah, so many things we've discussed through the years. And you know, she was a professional journalist for her career, so she's allegiant to that mode of thinking. I mean, I've tried to mention some of these other conspiracy type of topics, you know, through the years, 9/11 and et cetera. And, you know, she's a great listener, but, you know, to her credit, she doesn't, you know, shut me down or anything, but she just doesn't take to it at all. You know, she sticks with the mainstream story on everything, you know? So yeah, it's brutal, brutal. Yeah.
So what's on your mind today, brother?
Oh, just, this, that, and the other. Yeah, I think, you're touching on different economic aspects. I mean, things out here may be a little more expensive. I know gas is probably higher out here than it is there. We're in the mid $4 range, I'd say.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're about a buck more than here.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, man. So yeah, I've been getting back into your podcast and listen to a few. I listened to the William Boot and, some of the others too, but great work, man. Those are great and valuable interviews you're doing.
I really appreciate it. Did you have a chance to listen to the Ted Kaczynski podcast, and have you had any thoughts on Ted?
Well, that's a good question. So, yeah. And then I was talking about that documentary too, The Net. I'd recommend anybody watch that. And it sounds like you've watched it, but, that brings up some other issues, including things like, the, Frankfurt School and different things. And, the military applications of technology through the decades here, and, you know, with the predecessors to DARPA and you know, the, you know, intelligence involvement in all that. And it's really fascinating. But yeah, I've always, you know, not always, but I've been definitely fascinated with Ted Kaczynski's story. And, you know, the manifesto is incredible points that he makes there, you know. And I appreciated your treatment of the topic. I mean, obviously, mainstream wouldn't treat, you know, this topic with any balance at all. So it's always refreshing to hear what you're going to present. And then that film, The Net, actually does a great job, too, of saying, well, what about what he was talking about? You know, technology is, you know, mankind will not be able to moderate technology.
That's right.
And we're already seeing the results of that. It's just going to end in slavery, which is what's going on now, of course.
Yep. And that is very much going to be, I believe, just in my opinion, is going to be the downfall of us, because they're going to eventually transfer to all digital money. Cash will be the way of the AM radio station. And you see how people get censored already. And they'll, like he said, they'll bring in the social credit score. And this has been going on in China for quite some time. People can't ride the buses. People can't ride the trains because of their social credit score isn't high enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Incredible.
And, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just saying they're all in now with this whole, you know, scandemic thing that's been going on for, you know, almost 3 years now, but I mean, they're not messing around now. They got everybody doing the ritualistic mask, you know, and then coerced vaccine and all that. And, you know, even out here, it's crazy out here. I'm so much more used to more conservative rural area being in New Jersey. Now I'm out here and, you know, there's still a super high percentage of mask wearers that are just doing it voluntarily. You know, businesses don't necessarily require it, but, you know, more than 50% of people around here are still wearing masks all over the place.
Wow, that's an extremely high number.
It is, man. It's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, when we go out to the city, we still see a decent number. I wouldn't say that it's anywhere near 50, but certainly between the 10 and 20% range. And you'll still see the occasional person wearing a mask in their car by themselves, which takes the cake to me.
Yeah, or walking out on a country road or something, or on a road with nobody around, you know. It's, you know, some element of virtue signaling still, too.
It is.
Which is, you know, terrible. But, yeah.
It is, very much. And out here in the country, it's you don't see anybody. I was at the auction Wednesday, not one single mask, and there was several hundred people.
Exactly. Well, yeah, crazy. Well, here, I don't want to take your time up, but I did have one, I guess, point or question or topic for discussion. So, let's see. So to jump into something completely different, the heliocentric model, the flat earth, the level plane that we live on, and things like that. I was glad that William Boot at least touched on that for a second with the level plane. But so I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, people are looking at Jesuit influence, and you probably know a lot more about this with the Catholic Church and things than I do, but seeing as how it seems like the Big Bang and, you know, came from a priest, right? A Catholic priest, is that correct? And then the heliocentric model itself, even it was just some Catholic or religious conception or something that they got going.
That was from Copernicus in the early 1500s. And he was a Jesuit as well.
So maybe, you know, depending on your take on these issues, but maybe the entire world has been deceived for, let's say, 500 years or whatever. So I'm definitely open-minded to the idea that I think maybe where William Boot was going was that Jesuits are kind of at the top of the pyramidic food chain, controlling the machinations of the world into these evil ways. And I don't discount that, but the question that I would ask also is, when we're trying to figure out, you know, who's behind these things, okay, Freemasonry, Jesuits, Jewish influence, I mean, who are the highest percentage owners of some of these, you know, areas like the media and, you know, Rockefeller medicine and, you know, all these areas that are highly controlled, highly manipulated by Jewish influence, you know, I mean, where do you come down on some of these issues? I mean, who are we looking at here as far as, you know, where is this emanating from?
Well, I think one of the points that I was talking to him about that very well could be was they could very well be Jesuits posing as Jewish people because, let's face it, they're the most protected class in the world. About last summer, I interviewed Monica Schaefer. She spent 18 months in prison for you know, speaking against certain things. And you can't find another class of people that you can talk about and get 18 months in jail. So maybe these are Jesuits are posing as Jewish, obviously within the media, within BlackRock, within Vanguard, the Rothschilds, going all the way back to Switzerland, 1897, the World Zionist Organization, which turned into the Balfour Declaration, which is really why a good reason we fought two world wars. And if you look at the number of people who died because of that small state in Palestine, you have to, I guess, scratch your head a little bit, right?
Exactly.
That's just my thoughts.
Well put. I mean, it's crazy. But, you know, it's interesting you listen to or read some of the things like the International Jew that Ford and I guess one or two of his editors at the Dearborn Independent wrote, those types of issues, things that were written 100 years ago. It sounds like they were written yesterday. You know? It's crazy with the way things are still going. So.
And that's, that goes to say how people can really see things, because I was thinking the same thing when I was reading the manifesto from Ted Kaczynski. This he wrote it in, what, 95, almost 30 years ago, and it resonates more today than it did 30 years ago. So these type of, you know, these people are really on point.
And the whole, you know, CIA MK Ultra aspect is gigantic.
It's huge.
When you think about it, it's so crazy that that was never in the public's consciousness of the overall, you know, Unabomber manifesto as presented in the mainstream media. Never was it known, I don't think, to the mass public that, oh yeah, by the way, he was a participant for what, 3 years, you said?
He was a minor when he started. He was 16 years old. How can anyone in good conscience do something like that?
Oh, exactly. It's so corrupt and immoral. It's beyond... But yeah, if you even mention that, that's just going to be like, what?
I know.
You know, but no, and it kind of goes to a thought I had was, well, okay, maybe that, you know, heavy duty psychological, you know, torturous influence led him to become destabilized, let's say, so that he was willing to kill people. There's that aspect, but then also, I mean, just the fact that he was involved with I'm blanking on the guy's name. Henry Murray, was that it?
Oh yeah,
the guy who led that. I mean, he had what, OSS connections.
Yep.
And this is all CIA connections. So many of these patsies have CIA connections too. Whether you're talking about Lee Harvey Oswald, or you know, all these people are always somehow involved with intelligence. So, you know, maybe he was a freaking Manchurian candidate almost, like on a long-term project, you know? Who
Very
the hell
much
knows?
Like Sirhan was.
Yeah, and there's, you know, things that have come out now about that whole deal, too, where, you know, there's maybe another shooter involved there. I don't know. I'm not sure on the details of the RFK as much, but I know even that official story is suspect big time.
It's to say the least. And what's interesting is I think news came out in the last 48 hours. RFK Jr. is considering running for president. Can you imagine what?
Wow.
That would be interesting.
It would be. Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, just to get some issues raised, I think that would be incredible.
For sure.
If he did. You know, from my personal perspective and the research I've done, I mean, a lot of these people like him that are doing a great job, but they kind of represent a middle road to me, a middle level of this whole, germ theory issue. And they still seem to subscribe to germ theory and maybe they don't want to be known as anti-vaxxers or whatever, but they do present great information. Obviously, RFK Jr. has done a lot of incredible work. I mean, but I prefer like as far as the analysis, the in-depth analysis, I like your, Andrew Kaufman and Dr. Callan and Amanda Vollmer and, you know, Stefan Lanka,
yep,
those guys.
Sure.
But yeah, man. Well, hey, I don't want to take up any more time, too, if you got other callers or...
Yeah, it was really great to talk to you, Drew, and we'll keep your mother in our prayers and enjoying your time out there in the Pacific Northwest. I was out there back in 2018, 2019. It is beautiful. I was in the Tacoma region. Yeah. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right, my brother, keep up your great work. I appreciate talking to you as always, and yeah, we'll talk to you next time.
All right, you take care, brother.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. All thanks, right, man. Bye. All right, George.
There you go. First call of the day was from Jew. Normally he resides in New Jersey and he's out in the great Pacific Northwest, excuse me, taking care of his mom. We'll keep her in our prayers as well. Again, the phone lines are open, 302. I should probably put the phone number in the chat room in case, 302-526-4761. I just dropped that phone number in the chat room. The phone lines are wide open. Whatever's on your mind, if you wanted to add on to what Drew was talking about, the great debate of who is really running the controls. Is it Rothschild? Is it people well above them? The great rabbit hole that we always talk about. Okay. So... trying to pull up. By the way, the Big Bang Theory was Georges Lemaître. I think that's how I said it. Lemaître. According to the Big Bang Theory, the expansion of the observable universe began with a single explosion of a single particle at a definite point in time. And it was conjured up by Georges Lemaître, who was a Belgian cosmologist, Catholic priest, and known as father of the Big Bang Theory, lived from 1894 to 1966. I think he came with that in the 30s or 40s. Interesting, that really interesting. Man, that time frame, 1945, just so many changes in the world. The world really, really, really changed. 302-526-4761 is the phone number. By the way, if it's funny, I don't know if you guys are on Telegram, but there's a lot of people on Twitter who think that the war in Russia, or I should say the war in Ukraine, it's not really a war going on. Trust me, if you're on Telegram, you see the pictures and the tens of thousands of people that have been killed in this war. And it's a shame because this is something, once again, we're responsible for. There's a guy who has a pretty interesting YouTube channel. I can't think of the name of it, but he's a British expat who lives in outside of Moscow, I believe. And he just takes his camera around and he talks to people just to show you what the real Russia is like. And it's the same as here or anywhere else, just people going to and from work, trying to make it to tomorrow. They're very kind people. And it's funny, McDonald's left Russia like all these other major companies did. And he did a little 60-second skit on YouTube talking about McDonald's left Russia because America invaded Iraq. Just kind of, I guess, pointed out the hypocrisy of our government, right? How we can go in and just kind of overthrow governments at our will. And that's okay, right? Vietnam was okay. Libya was okay. There's a list I should post sometime, or maybe just do a podcast on it, of all the countries that were responsible, whether it be just a CIA overthrow or a full-fledged military overthrow. And look at all the other countries who we scorn on a daily basis. And man, you want to talk about calling the kettle black. It's really, really something. 302-526-4761. And speaking of Rand Paul, he had, and again, we can talk about germ theory, terrain theory. I thought there was some traction to the summer of 2019 into the fall of 2019. If you remember the late summer, like in August of 2019, there was the great quote-unquote vaping scare where all these people were being rushed to the hospital. And when they listed the symptoms, they were all the same symptoms of having the flu. Coughed, chest pain, shortness of breath, fever. I don't understand why vaping illness would give you a fever. And then the area around Fort Detrick, Maryland, had by the, I think, September 30th, they had more flu cases than the entire year previous to that. And I put it all together on a little video called COVID Origins. And I just, Fort Detrick and that whole area down there has been messing with these diseases for decades upon decades. And you don't have to be a New York Times Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist to figure out that there was something nefarious going on around Maryland. If you put a map of Maryland, Delaware, kind of that, that area on your wall, and you just go back to the news of August, September, and October of 2019, and every story you see, put a little pin on the area that is being reported from, at the end of the day, you're going to have a bunch of pins that surround Fort Detrick, Maryland. So again, my theory back then was that they put one of the, there is a report that, they had the world, what was it called? The World Military Games in Wuhan, China in October of 2019. And there was a soldier from Fort Story, Virginia, I believe, that actually went up to Fort Detrick prior to getting on the plane and going to the Wuhan World Games, the World Military Games. And there was well over 100 countries represented there. And again, this is October 2019. This was about 2 months after they killed the guy who created the PCR test. And if you remember, the first confirmed quote-unquote COVID case was in Seattle, which was the port in which all the athletes traveled out of. So, and that, again, is the theory. Some people say there wasn't anything at all. I've spoken to people who've had it, including the gentleman who owns Speak Free Radio. And he said it almost killed him. And he said it felt different than any other illness he had than he had had. Like it was manufactured. So was it something they put out to try to get people to the vaxes, or was the whole thing just a hoax? I don't know. You know, it depends on who you talk to. Again, I've talked to a few people that I trust that encountered this. A couple folks said it was mild, but it affected their taste and smell for a long period of time, even though they weren't really sick for a long period of time. And there was people that it almost killed that, you know, that I've talked to. Again, they lie about everything, so it's really hard to discern what is truth and what is not, and that's why we do what we do. Again, the phone lines are open, 302-526-4761. Again, 302-526-4761. If you'd like to call, please do so now. I don't have a lot of material prepared. So we'll talk about this story in the meantime about Senator Rand Paul, the COVID lab leak, among the greatest cover-ups in modern medical history. And again, Rand Paul has kind of been one of those guys that have been more honest than others. But at the end of the day, these guys, whether it be bringing in the CEOs of the social media platforms, nothing ever came of that. Nobody ever is ever held accountable. So I won't really hold the Rand Pauls, etc., up until someone is finally held accountable. Goes on to say that in response to the latest revelation that the lab leak theory is the most plausible cause of the Wuhan coronavirus, and it's always China's fault. Maybe it was. Who knows? Senator Rand Paul dubbed the theory suppression one of the greatest cover-ups in modern medical history. The senator remarked, we're going to pause there because we do have another phone call. It is area code 304. Thank you for calling. What's your name and where are you calling from today?
This is Karen. I'm calling from West Virginia.
Oh, hey, Karen. It's good to talk to you. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
I can't complain. I really can't complain.
Okay. Well, I don't have a lot of material either, but I did return from Panama at the beginning of the month, and then my present from returning was the incident up there in East Palestine, which is just like 60 miles north of where I live here in West Virginia. And I called the water department, you know, right away, and I've been drinking bottled water, which now I got to pay for that. And he told me that most of the guys around here are pretty good guys, and he told me that the it was like 2 parts per million of the vinyl chloride. Is that what that stuff is? The
polyvinyl
chloride.
Yep.
So it was very small, but I don't know if they're testing for dioxin, because I know if you get any dioxin at all, it's very serious.
Yes, it is very, very serious and very cancerous.
Right. So I feel for the people that are around there. Luckily, the plume went north of us and east. I don't know. They don't really tell you too much, do they?
No.
I don't know if it's spread out or I just don't know. But I come back home and then this disastrous thing happens. And then I'm reading about all kinds of like plastic places catching on fire. Mm-hmm. And there was a fire in some place at a lumber plant in the Bronx, because they use all kinds of chemicals on lumber now. Then there was something else that went on in Cleveland a day or two ago. And it seems like there's been 90 food processing plants burned up in like the last year. And I don't recall anyone ever being prosecuted for any of this.
No, and that sounds about right, because I remember mid-February, the number was around the mid-70s, so that sounds about right. It's got to be closing in on 100 at this point.
Yeah, and you never hear anything about anyone prosecuted.
Nope.
These places all have cameras.
Absolutely.
But I don't know what's going on here. It's I got my house listed, and now the interest rates are high. I'm hoping I can sell it. Because I want to get out of here. And here's another thing. When I got back here, I had nothing but sinus problems. I know this area's got because it's a valley, it gets a lot of pollution, and they're doing a fracking all around here. You don't really see it because it's up in the hills, you know.
Right.
And I live more in town, but I went. I finally broke down on Tuesday and went to see my doctor because my sinuses were so bad. And he told me he's seeing a lot of cancer. And I have a very good relationship with my doctor. I'm really lucky I have a really good doctor. He's very open with me about everything. I know his jab status, his wife's jab status. She's a trauma surgeon, and she got away with not taking. They both took the J&J because he was going to get fired, and then she was going to get fired. But she was traveling from hospital to hospital, so she got away with not taking it. But he told me he's been seeing a lot of cancer, and I said, "Well, you think that's the jab?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "Maybe it's just a lot of pollution too." So
yeah,
if you got the jab, I highly recommend that you go in and do any cancer screening you can do. You know, get your colonoscopy, get any kind of screening. I'm not a medical person, but, you know, just do what you can do to check yourself out, because I don't know what's going on. But none of the news is good.
No.
You know, none of it's good. The only good news was when I was in Panama, I went to the doctor in August of last year, and when I went to the doctor Tuesday, I lost 10 pounds.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, I really wasn't trying. I don't really have a weight problem, but it's hot down there, and I was doing a lot of packing and unpacking, and you know how that goes. So,
how is the medical system down there? Do they take your medical insurance from up here, or is that you have to pay on a monthly basis?
I can get insurance through, like, Santa Fe Hospital. The hospitals directly insure you. I may look into that. It's like $165 a month. You get as a pensionado, I automatically get discounts on medicine, doctor visits, and electricity and various things. But a doctor visit is going to be, you know, around $20. And there's a hospital about 10 minutes from where I'm going, a good hospital that's about 10 minutes from where I'm going to be living. And it's very inexpensive. Most people just pay out of pocket because it's so much less expensive. Something that somebody on Facebook was saying, that her husband had something happen and they ended up paying like a $9,000 bill, which sounds really big. Ooh. But it would have been a couple hundred thousand here.
Oh, for sure.
So it's a big difference. A lady I was talking to where I'm living, her husband was a colonel in the Army, and he's passed away now, but he had TRICARE. A lot of veterans go down there, and they have TRICARE. Do you have TRICARE?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, so you could live down there, and you'd have all your stuff paid.
Oh, wow.
So that's why a lot, you know, there's a lot of ex-military guys that go down there because they can go, you know.
Yep.
But she told me she fell. Her friend didn't want her to not get checked out, so she drove her to this hospital in San Carlos, and she got all checked out. They did scans on her and everything, make sure she hadn't had a concussion or whatever. And then her bill was like $90.
Wow.
Yeah, so most people, they just pay out of pocket. I mean, if you need something really expensive, maybe surgery, you'd come back. I keep my Medicare current.
Wow.
My brother sells insurance, and he signs me up for the various plans, and so I've gotten on a really, really cheap pharmacy plan because I don't use anything hardly anyway.
Your Medicare
but
D?
I'm Medicare here. I'll keep everything current.
Gotcha.
But I plan on just, you know, paying out of pocket until, you know, or maybe get a plan through a hospital. But, yeah, this spill is really being covered up, and it really makes me mad that the people up there are getting no financial help to speak of, and yet Biden's got all these illegals coming in. He gives them hotels, phones. He's giving them health care. He's giving them food stamps. And, this is just I don't know. This is becoming a very hard place to live if you're aware of what's going on.
Yeah, very much so. And then you see every single week another 400 and, is it million or billion that, or I guess it was 400 million that went to Ukraine yesterday. Every single week, it's just another welfare check to them.
Yeah, they're going to start paying their pensions and stuff.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's what I read. I keep up on all that. I think Hal Turner had a whole bunch of statistics on that. Like there were 259,000 Ukrainians killed so far.
Yeah.
And there's like 400,000 wounded. There's, you know, maybe 40,000 that surrendered. I don't know what the Russian statistics are, but I just wish that Putin would take a Sarmat missile and land one right in D.C. when the Congress is in session, and then another Sarmat missile and send it right over Israel. And you know what? Maybe the world could heal, and we could live in peace.
Yep,
because that's all this is.
Yep, those are two of the big.
We're going from place to place to place, and we're just this big, huge, you know, piggy bank for these crazy Zionists. They're all the same. You know, if you look at who these people are, it's just sickening.
Yep.
There's no other word for it. I wish sometimes I wasn't so black-pilled.
I know we all say that. You can't enjoy some things sometimes anymore.
You know, my brother, like I told you, he says he doesn't care. And I, next time I talk to him, I haven't talked to him in a while. The next time I talk to him, I'm going to tell him, look, you might not be looking for the revolution. The revolution's looking for you.
There you go.
And you're not doing yourself any favors by sticking your head in the sand because the rest of you is right out in the open.
Yeah, ignoring this stuff is not going to solve any problems. And that was kind of the conversation I had with somebody the other night was there's some certain things that are, you know, that go on in the world that you don't want to deal with because it's just so evil. But at the same time, ignoring it isn't going to help the situation.
No, and you know, I think about people like David Van Camp. What the hell did he die for?
You know, I wear his bracelet every day.
I hate to say that, but what did he die for? Or all these guys in Afghanistan for 20 years. I think Biden and this whole crew, because Biden's just a placeholder. He doesn't decide anything.
Oh, of course not.
But, he's just a zombie.
He just reads the cue card the best he can. End of sentence.
Yeah, that's right. They pump him up with some kind of speed pill and send him out there.
Yep.
And he shuffles around and doesn't know where he is. It's sad. I mean, that's elder abuse.
It is. It is.
I don't know what these guys died for. My father and all those guys from World War II would be rolling over in their graves.
I know.
If they saw what this country turned into.
Yep. Vietnam, all those poor guys over there.
And another thing I'm tired of is all of this LGBTQ crap and all these stripper shows they take these kids to.
Yeah.
And I know they're passing laws now. West Virginia, among other states, is passing laws now they can't cut these kids up. What kind of a society? They can't buy a cigarette. They can't sign a contract. You know, they can't join the military. They can't do all of these things, but they can cut themselves up. They call it gender-affirming care.
Yep, and you would be shocked, Karen, if you went to Google and go to Google and in the search engine put gender affirming care hospitals, and you would be shocked from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean how many Boston, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Los Angeles, Seattle, city after city after city that have entire wings at hospitals dedicated to this stuff. And it's just, man, it makes my blood boil.
What kind of parents?
Right?
I treat my dog better than that. I wouldn't let somebody cut my dog up for no reason. What kind of parents are these? I don't know. I don't spend time on TikTok and stuff. Like, I just catch one of these things once in a while, you know, when I'm going to various sites that are good sites. And
right.
Some of these people, they're unhinged. I don't know. I've said this. I've said this to my family. I've said, look, we could do something about the politicians. There's not very many of them. But what do you do about half the population when they're this nuts?
Yeah, it is sad. Our morals have gone right out the window.
Yeah, now they're trying to push, the United States is trying to push on UNS Review. If you go there, it's a good website.
Mm-hmm.
On Daily Stormer, they've got a story about how now they're trying to push all this LGBTQ stuff into countries in Africa. And the Africans aren't into this.
Oh, did you see the press conference the other
they're
day?
They're not into any of this. Why do we go from country to country spending millions of dollars, literally your tax money, to go to make people sick in the head? and encourage all of this. I mean, it's just this country's wicked.
It is indeed. There's a lot.
If you go there and you watch the videos of these different African representatives get up and they talk about how we don't believe in this, we don't want this. This is our country. We're sovereign. And you know, I don't know. I've said for so long that I mean, because of what happened in my church, if we don't start pushing back on this stuff, they're going to have their own new tribe, and they're going to come for us.
Yeah.
And now you can't hardly even say anything about them in public. You're a hater.
Yeah, they've already divided many church affiliations out there. They've really destroyed them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was a Lutheran. Oh, I was confirmed in the Lutheran church when I was 14, went to Lutheran private school up in South Dakota, and you know, I was just, you know, did that my whole life, and then it just got worse and worse and worse. It wasn't like this back in the 70s and stuff. It wasn't like this.
Oh, no.
And just slowly but surely, it became an apostate church. I don't know if Jesus is coming back, but I'll tell you, the condition of the church right now is bad.
It is.
I saw a clip of a church in Ireland, a Catholic church, and they're allowing Muslims to come into the Catholic church and call the prayer in a Catholic church. Now, do you think the Muslims would let a Catholic come in?
Oh, could you imagine showing up to Mecca like that?
In one
My
of
goodness.
Their places of you know, religious practice?
No. As for someone who spent 5.5 years in the Middle East, no. I can assure you.
No. No, they still have a sense of themselves.
Yeah.
We in the West, we have no sense of ourselves anymore.
No. We have.
We don't stick up for anything.
No, and that's the thing. We don't fight back. We sure don't. Because we don't want to be canceled. We don't want to be ridiculed for not accepting, you know, what we didn't accept back in the day. And it's funny you mentioned that because there's a clip that's been running wild from the other day. There was a reporter in one of the African countries, and she asked the leader about exactly what you said, the LGBT, and he laughed at her. He like hysterically laughed at her and kicked her out. He's like, "That's not how we roll here. Get her out of here."
They still have a sense of themselves.
Yeah, they still have their
moral
compass
intact.
And
all this is destroying the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the reason that a lot of these, I think back to when I was a teenager, you know, when I was 14 or something, and I wanted to fit in and I wanted to be one of the cool kids and all that. It's so easy at that age to convince a kid of almost anything.
100%, for sure.
You know, and that's all they're doing. They know kids want to be popular. They know kids want to be in the in crowd.
Yeah.
And so they're using that vulnerable, you know, like 12 to 17 period where you're confused and you don't know what's going on and, you know, you're just changing so fast. And they're just exploiting that. It just irritates the hell out of me.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, that's why I called a vent, because I cannot even believe that we even have these conversations.
Yeah, it is hard to believe when you read the stories and you hear the drag queen story hour, and you just like, what? It's like we're living in an alternate universe. It's hard to comprehend.
Well, this is a spiritual component to it.
Very much.
Sure.
This is a spiritual war right now, 100%.
Yeah. I don't know if we're in the last days, but I think the condition of the church is indicative of if, you know, something doesn't change pretty soon.
Yep.
Because we're already kind of being, you know, I've looked at some of these things they're trying to pass in Florida. Now, supposedly this DeSantis is, you know, the next, you know, guy that's going to ride in the white horse and save everybody.
Yep.
It's a joke.
Yep. When we need a hero, they'll give us our hero.
Laws that if you pass out something, it's all about anti-Semitism. Let's face it.
Yep.
And if you litter and it's got something having to do with Jews, then automatically it's a hate crime and you go to jail for 5 years. It's a felony. Now, if this isn't, I mean, it's a tyrannical country. And I never hear anybody ever ask what is going on with the Jews where people would be this way about them. I mean, let's do a root cause analysis. You see, they never go there. They just want to shut everybody down. And I never hear anything about, let's, you know, see what are they doing? What's going on here? And but you never hear that.
No.
It was just Randy Fine, I think he's a state senator down there. He's trying to pass. I don't know if this stuff had, even if it was, he says it's going to pass for sure. But I don't know. There's some people that have been calling in on some of the other shows talking about it that it's unconstitutional. But I don't know who pays attention to the Constitution. Half the stuff the government does is they never declare war. Here they blow up the pipeline there, the Nord Stream pipeline, and they don't declare war. That's an act of war.
Yeah, these are the people that care so much about the climate, too.
yeah, and that's one of the worst. Well, same thing in East Palestine.
Absolutely. And they just completely ignored it.
I think that's probably going to end up being just a poison. I don't know. If I lived there, I'd be doing something to get out of there. I wouldn't stay there. I'd feel bad just where I'm at.
There's something very nefarious about that. When I called all the businesses in East Palestine, and there was only one person that was willing to talk to me. The other people just were not allowed to talk about it, not allowed to talk about it, and they hung up the phone. Only one person.
Well, they might have gotten that from their lawyers.
Yeah.
They might have lawyered up, and they might have been told by their lawyers, don't talk.
That could be true, too.
So, you know, we don't know. Maybe face-to-face they might talk to you.
Sure.
But they probably, if they're lawyered up, the lawyer's probably saying, don't say anything.
Yeah,
but,
that's a good point.
Those people have a valid lawsuit, but lawsuits don't do you any good when you're sick. You know?
Yeah, lawsuits aren't going to bring you back if you get cancer. It's just, you know, America Last continues.
Yeah, and we have money for everything, but, you know, there's so many of these things that Biden's trying to push through about. They have this new equity thing about neighborhoods. I don't know if you've read about that. They're going to, if you live in a town of under 10,000 people, you have to submit an equity plan so that they can decide whether you're doing enough to get low-income people, I guess, and immigrants and anything else that they can throw in there to screw up your city.
My goodness.
And I've been reading about that, too, because you're really not safe anymore now where you live.
No, you're not. I can tell you.
He signed this on January the 19th.
Oh, wow. Almost 2 months ago. Okay.
And if a town fails, I'll just read this a little bit. If a town fails to meet state targets, the compact will allow developers to build big in defiance of local zoning boards in almost all cases. And if you don't have the money to live in a nice neighborhood, then they're going to have equity, and they're going to build HUD or Section 8 or whatever, and then, like, build a five-story apartment complex on what used to be, you know, two older single-family homes that they demolish.
And then there goes your property value.
These guys, I mean, there's no stone that they won't flip over to cause chaos. Mm. So, I mean, we haven't had any of that here where I live because it's just too hilly. They can't just build anywhere, but they're going to have apartment buildings with affordable units. So if you live in a tranquil suburb, you now have hood rats running all over.
Well, I know my old neighborhood growing up is...
I don't know if you ever listened to Robert Ravold on RBN and... he's got a good show on Sunday nights, but he lives in the St. Louis area.
Oh, yeah.
And he said it's just total chaos in St. Louis. If you go to Zero Hedge, they've got a film of a car that ran into a building, but hitting another car, killed the pedestrian on the sidewalk, and all the bricks from the upper, these are old buildings, fell down on top of the two cars. It's pretty bad, but it shows you that how out of control some of these cities are. Can you imagine locating these people out in a nice little suburb someplace in Connecticut, you know, or, you know, upstate New York? Or I just feel bad for people if they don't know what's going on. I mean, locate in a town less than 10,000 people.
Hmm. That's just, it's, and, you know, St. Louis really showed itself when those people stood out on their front step to defend themselves during the riots, and they were the ones who got charged.
I mean, they stood on their front porches to defend themselves, and the police rounded them up?
Yeah, remember in 2020, I guess it was the George Floyd riots, that couple, they stood out on their front step.
Oh, yeah, that couple, yeah, to defend their house, yeah.
And they were the ones who got rolled up.
They're both lawyers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're both lawyers.
So, imagine that, getting arrested.
It's a nutty world, and it's not getting any better. I'm glad I'm old.
Yep. Likewise. Well, keep us up to date on Panama.
I'm a young old. I mean, I'm going to start a whole new life, and I love it down there, and I've met a lot of nice people, and I just wish everybody here well, but I don't know. I just hope for the best. That's all I can say. Say my prayers for you every day. So.
Well, we appreciate it, and I have another call, Colin.
Yeah.
I have another call
coming
in. Oh,
that's good, George. I'll let you go. Have a great show.
Thank you so much for calling, and keep us posted, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, take care. All right, next caller I think is area code 385. Welcome aboard. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, George, this is the Mormon rabbi from Utah.
Hey, what is going on? It's good to hear from you. How are you?
I am very well, and I'm super stoked to talk with you. Because from 1 month ago till now, I've listened to maybe 30 or 50 more of your episodes. So I feel like I've gotten to know you a lot better. And I'm just so very pleased with your mind, your intellect, your ability for logic and reasoning and just being fair and even-keeled. You are the man. I just wanted to say that at the start.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate your emails, and they're very well thought out and put together. You obviously have a very good head on your shoulders as well, brother.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So I've got a few topics, and we can take however long, but I've got a few questions for you specifically. So when we talk about who's running things and who's responsible, is it the Jesuits, the Jews, the banking elite, mm-hmm. maybe without any religious motivation? But so what is your thought, or how do you interpret the verse in Genesis that something like God will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you? And you'll be a blessing to all the families of the earth, or something like that. What do you take that to mean? And if you don't want to get too detailed, that's okay.
No, it's funny you mention that, because I had Bart Sabrell on, I just cleaned off my board, I guess about 2 weeks ago, and he had mentioned, not that exact verse, but something similar to it, and how God blesses the people who... You could say, try to seek truth and worship him, and curses the ones who go against him. This is really off subject, but it just hit my mind, so I wanted to share it because a lot of people might have not picked it up. But when he was walking out of that one astronaut's house, his son still had the mic on. He kicked him out in such a angry rant that he didn't have time to collect his microphone. And the son said, hey, do you want me to call the CIA and have them waxed? That's, I think, the exact verbiage he used. He said, let's call the CIA and have them waxed. So obviously, if you landed on the moon, why would you bother calling the CIA to have them waxed? Number two, 2 years later, the astronaut's son, the one who said, let's call and have them killed, he died of cancer. So, you know, some people would use the word karma. I think it was Dustin Nemos who mentioned people that wish harm or cause harm can actually cause ill will on themselves and further generations. But I think that verse in particular just basically, you know, talks about, you know, now maybe not the people who go against God may not find hard times immediately. Like, there's a lot of evil people right now on earth that are having a great time, but I think he also reflects into when they're when they die, there's a certain place for the evil people. And the Bible points out many places, those who wish to do harm on children, that they would rather have a millstone, you know, put around their neck and thrown into the ocean, basically.
Right.
You know, so I think it's just a warning that, you know, I think there's a fine line between, right, we all make mistakes. We're all sinners, each and every one of us, even the greatest preacher or, you know, we all make mistakes. We're humans. There's only one person who ever, you know, went his whole life without making a mistake. And there's a big difference between making a mistake and causing, like when you, all you have to do is go to one of these websites and see all the misery that's in the world. And if you're a part of that, then I think that that's kind of what God is alluding to, that you are going to, you're going to pay.
Okay. So I actually like how you interpret that. I'm not sure if you're aware, but there are some who interpret that verse to mean Jews are God's chosen people, and anyone who curses Jews will be cursed, and anyone who bows down and blesses the Jews, they will be blessed. And I just do not like this interpretation at all.
I don't either.
But the way...
Go ahead, sorry.
The way that you interpreted that, though, it reminds me, I've recently been just falling in love with, I've been through four or five times now, the Upanishads. Have you ever taken the time to go through the Upanishads by chance?
I have not.
Okay, so just that's like the ancient Hindi or Indian Vedic scriptures.
The internal order. The eternal order, which, I think it's called, yeah.
And there's one line in there that says, one quick second, I've got it right here. It says, foolish is he who does not grant hospitality to the Brahman. And the Brahman is essentially God or the spirit or the highest ideal, if you will. For he loses his soul. For he loses his future hopes, his past merits, his present possessions, his sons, his all, such that foolish is a person who doesn't grant hospitality to God's spirit. And so just like that Genesis verse, if you curse the spirit, you will be cursed and you will lose everything that matters. But if you bless the spirit, then you too will be blessed. So I love that interpretation, and I thank you so much for that insight. Another question I had for you, are you familiar with life path numerology?
Life path numerology. I've heard of that. I think, did you mention that in your last email, something about a score?
Yes. And it's just based on your birth date, your birth, month and your birth year. You add up all the numbers and then reduce it to a single digit. But if you're not familiar with it, I don't need to go into that. I just, needless to say, I think there is some sort of transcending truth to it all, that there's too many accuracies, and it's worked with each of the 10 different people I know best in this world. It's just perfectly accurate for all. So it's just something that's been curious and on my mind lately.
Yeah, mine's 35.
35.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be an 8, because 3 and 5 is 8.
Oh, I see. You break it down to a single number. Okay, I got you.
Right. So okay. It's just 1 through 9 and whatever number you are. For instance, just to share mine, I'm a number 5. And the number 5 is someone who does not do well at a 9-to-5 job, It's someone who thinks and wants to investigate and discover things, and who's just, they're not stable, and their downfall is they don't spend enough time on the things that they actually need in their life. They're too focused on adventures, experiences, and this sort of thing. And it just rang so true to me. My life has been ups and downs and adventures, and I've been fired from every job I've had pretty much after 2 or 3 years. I just stopped really caring and want to focus on what's important. And here we go. Forget everything else that I've set up to this point. This is one idea that I would like to discuss. And that is, I feel that going to church on one day a week and then having to live in a satanic society for the other 6 days,
yeah,
that this is a recipe for failure.
Yeah.
And that there's no way you can protect your soul or focus on what matters or any of this if you just devote one day a week and then maybe some other stuff throughout the week. But I contend that, like, a job does not matter. It only matters in so much that it allows you to provide for your family and loved ones and meet your physical necessities. But I really contend that it's the spiritual plane of existence that matters, and that, like, sports teams and movies and all this other stuff is just mindless distraction and idol worship. And so, like, Jews, some people think Ashkenazi Jews have a higher IQ than people.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And I would contend that's not true at all. It's just a matter of which child do you think would be brighter and more intelligent? The child who watches Disney movies and shoot 'em up action shows from Hollywood as they grow up, and they don't go to church, they don't study any spiritual or ancient texts, and they listen to rap music and hip-hop music, and they're just a product of society? Or a person who studies ancient texts from the youngest of ages every single day, who even go to special schools or yeshivas just so that they can dive deeper into those texts and study them? And instead of just reading it in a literal form where there's just one interpretation, they approach it from the literal form, metaphorical approach, gematria or numerology approach, and they analyze these things from so many different aspects. And so I don't think that Jews or Ashkenazis are born smarter than anybody. I think that they're just being raised focusing on what actually matters, and that really gives them a leg up in the world. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. I was just having this discussion with somebody recently about, you can kind of say the same about a lot of the Asian cultures where not so much on the spiritual level. I mean, they obviously have a spiritual culture, but they are very, whether it be China, Taiwan, Korea, there is quite a culture for educating children, and they are, it's a competition. And if they don't get straight A's, they're looked down upon. They're also expected to learn at least one instrument, one foreign language. It's quite – you're not going to find a lot of Asian folks, whether it be China, those particular countries, Korea, and I think maybe even Japan. You're not going to see a lot of these children just watching TV and playing video games all day long. They're in a very, very competitive culture over there, where their parents are highly involved with their education. And of course, you have to have a fine line. You need to make sure they're children, so they have to get their exercise, their playtime, but they don't sit around and watch TV and play video games all weekend either.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great comparison.
Yeah.
And I actually want to compliment you. I'm 31 years old and I'm single and I don't have any kids. But I'll tell you, I've told all of my friends that do have kids, that public school, like what we were just saying, if you think that you can just drive your kid to public school and pick them up and let them do that for 18 years, and that they're going to be equipped at all for this world, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
And so parents do have to take charge, take responsibility, and educate them. And so I've told all of my kids, like, public school will set your child back so far. Like, one instance is you're surrounded by kids only their same age, whereas I'm the youngest of seven kids, and I can tell you the advantages in life that I've had from having to compete with and be around my older siblings and their friends for my entire life. Like, it's the guru aspect. You learn from people who are older and wiser and better. So if you're just surrounded with people your own age, you're all just kind of lost together and have to believe whatever the teacher says. So I tell them, taking your kids out of public school and homeschooling them is actually so important that it doesn't matter if you have to leave your job, lose your career, switch to something where you make 50% less money. I mean, people in other parts of the world, they're just grateful to be able to sleep with something over their head and to have food each day. Most days they don't know where the food's going to come from. Maybe they even have to work for it to buy food for that day. In America, we're so comfortable, and that's like our biggest defect right now. And so I just feel it's so crucial and so vitally important. Don't think, oh, I'd have to stay at home, I couldn't do this job. It's all worth it. It's all worth it. You'll find a way, but raise your kids yourself and raise them in truth. Yep. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I've contended for years that exact point. One thing I did want to mention, going back to your original ideal, is when you were talking about the book of Genesis and how people contrive it to be about the Jews. I've always contended the people who currently occupy Israel are not God's chosen people. And again, you can just do some research on Tel Aviv, what goes on in that city, and that'll put a wrap on that. Those are not God's chosen people. But getting back to what you were saying, what were we just talking about a minute ago?
Private school.
Yeah, private schools.
Important.
Oh, I had such a good point to make, and I looked at something and I completely lost my train of thought. What in the world was it? But I'm so sorry. I had such a good point to make.
No worries.
I can't remember.
I feel you. I'm actually so nervous talking to you that I've forgotten so much.
Oh, no. It's just having a conversation.
I know. But just as you're a recent guest on your Flat Earth Files, Kaysen, I think,
yeah,
said that he was kind of fanboying over you a little bit. Like, I'm kind of the same way. I'm just stoked to have found, like, George Hobbs and your humanly flesh and my human flesh. Forget about those. Your mind, I'm just glad to have found another mind that is similar. And that has a similar standard for truth. You know, you can tell a lot about a person, like, say, in the Flat Earth community, jump on YouTube, watch some videos. You can tell a lot, but by what evidence a person uses to make their arguments, and whether it's strong or weak or circumstantial at best. And so I know that you are very wise, because in all of your episodes, you just use the home run hitters, the bottom line, these are the most important truths. And they are. One thing, you mentioned, like, the astronaut deaths that happened in the 60s prior to NASA,
Gus Grissom and those guys.
Prior to 69.
Yeah.
just randomly, Yuri Gagarin, the first Russian in space, randomly enough, in 1968, 1 year prior to the faked moon landing, he also dies in a plane crash, just a routine test flight. And I just find any circumstance like that to be suspect.
Yep, he died March of 1968, almost, geez, what is that, 55 years ago, almost? 55 years later this month, yeah.
Right, and Russia was ahead of us the entire duration of the space race. They beat us with Sputnik, they beat us with Yuri Gagarin being the first man to orbit or whatever, and then they just stopped. And Russia, for the last 50 years, they just reached a dead end they can never get past. But America, we just can fly to the moon, you know.
It's amazing. People forget that we had Operation Paperclip, but the Russians, they also took a lot of the German scientists for themselves as well.
True. And even today, isn't it true that Russia has greater military technology than we do? Like intercontinental ballistic missiles or something like that, that we can't even defend against.
Well, I hope we don't find out the answer. But it's close. I know that. The technology is very close.
And lastly, the Russia-Ukraine war. I'm stoked that more and more conservatives and just people are coming to understand the truth about that. I remember clear as day back when it very first started, I follow a few people on Twitter before I got permanently banned, and they like laid out the Kolomoisky and all this stuff from 2014. So I was kind of wise on that from the beginning, that we're the aggressors and Russia's just defending their borders and protecting the ethnic Russian people in the Donbass. But I just wanted to mention that two things. One is the Ukrainian government, which is led by Chabad Lubavitch Zelensky, which is the bad type of Jew, if you will, satanic snake, satanic serpent of synagogue of Satan.
Yep.
They required that all Ukrainian men of fighting age stay behind and fight. And at the same time, Israel offered like a $12,000 stipend to any Ukrainian Jews who were fleeing Ukraine to Israel. So they, by law, require the non-Jewish Ukrainians to stay and fight. And then because Jews are somehow special, they allow them to flee to Israel and give them a bunch of money to do so at the same time. In my mind, if a Jewish government is forcing non-Jews to fight and letting Jews flee back to their Israel land, that's kind of obvious, isn't it?
That, yep.
That something's wrong.
Absolutely. And, you know, you don't have to look very far. The last two big American names that have visited, Janet Yellen and Merrick Garland, and they're both part of the club. So if anybody's wondering why the DOJ is in Ukraine, they want Kiev to be Jerusalem 2.0.
Right, the heavenly Jerusalem.
Yep.
Igor Berkut, or Igor Gecko, he's also known as. There's a whole project called the Heavenly Jerusalem. And it's basically right over the ancient Khazar kingdom area.
That's right.
From where these Eastern kings originally hail from. And last point on the war is, I believe 100% that it's going to become a world war. And if you think back to World War One, the war broke out in 1914 in Europe.
Yep.
And it stayed in Europe for 2 to 3 years after that. And Woodrow Wilson got reelected on the campaign slogan, "He kept us out of the war."
That's right.
And then he gets reelected.
And sent us off to war.
And then because of the Zionist influence, Balfour Declaration, all of this,
yeah.
We get roped into the war to send Americans over to Europe to die. So I think, well, we're about at the one-year mark, 1 year and a month or two, maybe. So we still have another year, maybe even 2 years. But sure as I believe, same thing's going to happen. Americans will be going to Europe to die for Zionist causes. It bothers me.
Yeah. Well, people don't understand. Americans have already died. We have a lot of mercenaries over there. We have a lot of U.S. veterans who, for some reason or another, is fighting for Ukraine. And there's been a lot of them come back in body bags. And that's a dang shame.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
That is.
Yep. That is a fact.
Wow. But, yeah, I guess I'll wrap it up. I appreciate your time so much. Another compliment I want to give you. I feel like you could have been a pastor/preacher in another life. You just have a genuine kindness about you that's empathetic and open to all, and you just have a really good soft-spoken voice that's peaceful. So I feel like you'd make an excellent pastor or preacher. Did you ever give that any thought at any age?
That's funny you mentioned. I'm taking theology classes right now. I already have a degree with Texas A&M, but that's in business. I have a couple degrees, but I've been taking theology at night lately. Whether I actually get into it or not, we'll see. It remains. We'll see. If I feel God calls me to do it, then I'll certainly do it. Because I feel like I'm at a precipice. I've been doing this for 3 years. And, you go down some rabbit holes and you can become very depressed because you realize back in the day before you really, and this is probably true for you and many of our listeners, when these were considered just conspiracy theories, it was kind of cool to talk about. But when you finally take the red pill and realize that these people are causing all this pain and sorrow to people around the world and all the evil that's been done, it takes you to a whole nother level. So I don't know if I'm going to do this for 10 more years, 5 more years, 1 more year, but I think at some point I may transition the truth into a ministry, but that is certainly down the road. I have a lot more to learn on that side of the house.
Fascinating. Well, I would give you my full support. And in fact, so many podcasters these days are like, donate, pay this much to listen to the second half of the episode,
yeah,
whatever. And I'm usually just against paying money unless I feel that they've proven themselves a true intellectual, a true honest, no matter what type person. And you meet my qualifications, and I went to go give you some money, and you don't even have a link to accept.
No,
money,
you know,
folks.
I did Patreon for a little bit, but
I found that respectable.
Yeah, it's just, you
but
know, we're going through some
like
difficult times, and I don't want to ask people for money. It's just not, and it does, like you said, I do think it detracts from the message if you're in the middle of talking and all of a sudden, you know, you hear, all right, go to my Patreon and for $10 you can listen to the rest of the podcast. And everybody has to do their own thing, you know. I don't want to judge other people for doing that, but at the same time, I just think we're in such a crucial time in our world's history that I just don't want to take away from the message at all.
Well, that's amazing. And I'll just say, if there's any way that I could help your podcasts grow or in any way help them succeed, I fully consent and condone your message, and I feel it should be spread out. As you said once, if you find someone who can get a message across or say a thing better than you can, then there's no need to duplicate it. Just let them go. So
there you go.
I'm comfortable letting you be the voice of the good, true, and beautiful, and those who seek change and are ready to act on it.
All right,
so
brother.
Thank you for your shining example.
Well, thank you for the call and all the kind words. It's greatly appreciated, and I look forward to we'll be speaking again in the very near future, and I look forward to it. I appreciate your phone call.
Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. Had three really good calls, Drew, Karen, and the Mormon rabbi from Utah. I think my wife just ordered some, is it Himalayan salt or pink salt, from a very famous salt company out there. Supposed to add a little bit to the water, I guess, and drink a little bit each day, or add it to your water each day. It's supposed to be very healthy. It's expensive, but it's supposed to be very good. And my wife said, I'm ordering this, and you just do what the boss says. Yes, ma'am. 302-526-4761. I have about 30 minutes left. I was meaning to go to about 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, but I've got a few more things to do this evening, and I have a lot of computer updating to do. So I have about 30 minutes, so if you would like to call, I would encourage you to do so now at 302-526-4761. We've really covered a large array of subjects here today. Excuse me. And it's really appreciated. There's certainly no lack of rabbit holes to go down these days. There really isn't. And literally, you could do a podcast 7 days a week and still never run out of things to chat about. And I have a few things on the docket on the board. I'm trying to decide which one we're going to run down for this Tuesday night. We shall see. Again, 302-526-4761. Yeah, she says the pink salt rocks. It sure does. And Malia, talking about what we were saying about Kiev being the new Israel, says that maybe that is what 2030 is all about, the Agenda 2030, that maybe that is the year of the new Israel. And it's interesting. There's been a lot of things going on in Russia. I think they finally knocked them out of, was it Bakhmut that Russia finally knocked Ukraine out of? So they're done in that region. They tried, there was a terrorist attack in the Russian border on, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, and I was surprised that they didn't react in a bigger way. Russia is, Russia did at least. I was surprised they didn't react against Ukraine for their little terrorist attack within the Russian borders. I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday. You're not going to really find any true information on Twitter or Facebook. If you want the truth, what's going on, I can recommend Patrick Lancaster. I think it's Patrick Lancaster News on YouTube. And then if you go on, I'd have to pull up my Telegram to see the accounts. And half of them, I think MASH is one of them. He puts out some pretty good things. There's five or six, but yeah. You got to be have a strong stomach, because they post some images as well. And to all the people who think there's nothing going on in Ukraine, that it's a fake war, I could not tell you. It's 100% the opposite. There's a lot. Again, what was it, Karen, that was saying the Ukrainian deaths were closing in on 250,000, or the injuries? There's reports that up to 150,000 Russian soldiers have been killed. I think that's extremely high. You're not going to get any legitimate reporting out of this war, unfortunately, for the most part, especially from the large, three-letter networks. Even Tucker Carlson will tell you that Victoria Nuland and the CIA was responsible for overthrowing a duly elected government, but they will stop to the point to say that they still call Russia the aggressor. What are you going to do? Again, it's 302-526-4761. Someone who's been calling in on anonymous, just so you know, I usually say this once per call-in show, the Skype will not accept anonymous phone calls. It shuts it down right away, so whoever's been calling from anonymous, it takes it down immediately. So you'd have to call from an actual number. It doesn't recognize anonymous phone calls. So again, last call. If you'd like to give us a call and share your thoughts with the listeners here in the United States and around the world, now is the time. It's 302-526-4761. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m., we'll have another classic audio drop. We'll have Bill Cooper, as we do every Sunday night. And then Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time, we'll have another podcast. I have a couple subjects down. I will actually probably record the podcast tomorrow night, and we will schedule it to drop Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, as always. Episode 151. You know, doing that Ted Kaczynski episode, it's really mind-blowing. One of the things that you kind of forget about, it falls, and there's so many other things going on in the world, and you go back and you read and you listen. Old Ted was spot on. He knew that technology was going to be the downfall of this country, and he nailed it. Especially, man, you see what they can do with the AI now. You know, you post something on YouTube and it'll catch it within 60 seconds, whether it's a copyright infringement or you talk about vaccines in a bad light. It's scary how they've turned this artificial intelligence into an absolute monster. And he was right. He called it for sure. So he's 80 years old now, and he is in a care facility down in, was it North Carolina or South Carolina? So he's not in Colorado. He was in the Supermax, the federal Supermax out there in Florence, Colorado for many years. But I believe when you turn a certain age, they automatically put you in a federal medical complex, FMC. And that is in, it's either North or South Carolina. He's 80 years old now. What an interesting conversation. If you could have an hour with him, boy, what an interview session that would be. I couldn't imagine the hoops you would have to jump through to get an interview with old Ted, or even if he would want to. But that would certainly be an amazing discussion. All right, folks, I don't see any more calls coming through. We've had three very good phone calls. Again, thank you all for your continued support. More podcasts coming this week. Of course, our catalog, we have, we're closing in on 1,000 hours worth of podcasts, and we are now on Rumble. If you haven't, go to the bottom of our webpage where it says subscribe for the Fact Hunter news and updates. We send a couple newsletters out. We've sent one out yesterday with the link to our new Rumble channel, or you can just go to Rumble and just type in the Fact Hunter. You'll find, I only have two videos uploaded there, but we're going to start doing more video as well. We're working on a little mini documentary entitled The Doors to Vietnam. And we've come on more information how George Morrison, who was Jim Morrison's father, and another one of The Doors bandmates who were really involved in so much between the Gulf of Tonkin, which led to Vietnam, and then Jim Morrison, which certainly, I think, hand in hand with the Grateful Dead, had quite an effect on the hippie movement and much, much more. I think you'll be very interested to hear all that. It'll be coming in the coming week. So thank you all for your continued support. Karen said, oh, David Knight is on Rumble now, isn't he? That's right. The old Sarmat missile. We'll see if we can get one on order. Hey, guys, thanks so much for listening. Thank you to Drew, to Karen, and to the Mormon Rabbi for your great phone calls. We'll put out a message again when the next call-in show will be. And we wish everyone well. And if you want to reach out again, you can message in the chat room or our email address, which is thefacthunter@mail.com. Again, it is thefacthunter@mail, not gmail.com. God bless everybody. Be well. And until next time, y'all keep your head on a swivel, and we'll see you real soon.